So this chapter, the first few paragraphs made me laugh. It started out at a convention where Holmes made the statement that the strength of religious science was in the member churches, and he took a personal interest in all the ministers. One of the ministers that was attending at this particular convention was Dr. John Heferlin, who was from Long Beach, California. And some of the people at the national headquarters didn't think John should be a minister, but Holmes had overruled them. His belief was that you can teach ministers all kinds of facts about religion, but until they were in a pulpit, you really didn't know how much or how little they knew. And that's what set me to laughing because it's just so bureaucratic that people think he shouldn't have been a minister. So just to affirm the wonderfulness of Dr. Heferlin, here we go with a quote. And he said, "We have learned the power of imagination, but there is one other power. We may have all the treatment in the world. We may have all the feeling, all the imagination. But I tell you this one thing, without a spiritual awakening, without a spiritual awareness beyond the imagination and beyond the intellect, we will remain as grasshoppers. But with the awakened soul, with the awakening of the spirit within us, we too become giants, not only of the present, but on into the future of mankind." These words are really, really powerful, and it leads us to the essence of what Holmes was meaning with the title of the chapter, Having a Mission. Without the depth of spiritual feeling and connection, our treatments and connections with others may be lacking. And our mission is to be connected, not only to spirit, but also to one another. So I had a real life example of this myself. It's amazing how when you're preparing for a talk, your life prepares you for the talk. So last weekend, I went to a celebration of life service for my sister-in-law, and my brother had told me that I was to participate. And he said, "You've done things like this before." And I'm like, "Oh, done what? Serve the food or whatever?" So it turns out my job was to introduce the speakers. And it was in New York, and we had left super early that morning. And I was feeling really tired and empty, and like I didn't feel connected at all. And so I decided I wasn't going to help with putting out the food. And my goodness, the food was awesome, by the way. And I didn't help with laying out the decorations. There were supposed to be over 100 people there, so it was going to be a humongous crowd for what it was. So I spent time reading a biography that was written about my sister-in-law, and I was looking at all the family photographs. And by the time the service started, I was starting to feel energized and I was ready to participate. And there was so much love in the room. I could feel it. Walking in there, I could feel the people were there because they wanted to support my brother and to support his children. And I could feel my heart connecting with that energy as I introduced each speaker. And afterwards, a lot of people I'd never met before came up to me and told me how much they had really liked my words. And I don't think it was the words in the introductions that they liked as much as the fact that we're all in a room to express love for my mother, my brother's wife, and his family. And it was, for me, it was a teaching experience because I learned from that that what matters is the connection. And I'm really glad that there was a lot of participation in this service because I could feel the connection grow as that happened. So getting back to Holmes and the convention, he said that the keynote of the convention was togetherness and having unity of thought, purpose, planning, and especially connecting deepening our connection to spirit. So I've heard in connection with the upcoming election, the word unity a fair amount. And sometimes I observe a lot of, when I'm listening to the speeches, I observe a lot of unity when the speaker is talking to a crowd, sometimes not so much. But wouldn't it be great if everyone knew that we're living in a spiritual universe surrounded by perfect teaching situations, perfect people and events? I definitely had that sense at the Celebration of Life service. It was an experience that taught me a lot. So if we're thinking about our mission in the world, isn't promoting unity with spirit and one another one of our greatest intentions? My dog is really enjoying this talk, by the way. Holmes said that there's a divine pattern of perfection in everything. So what is this divine pattern? You see that phrase a lot, and it's actually something that's been around since the beginning of time. It's not something that's visible, like a dress or clothing pattern, but it's the unfoldment through thought and feeling and intellect and our actions that creates a pattern. And we could all love one another, turn every negation into an affirmation, every denial into an acceptance, and every no into a yes. Oh, wouldn't that be great? Every evil into a good, every lack, every want into abundance. So I turned to Thomas Troward, one of my favorites, and he had a wonderful quote. He said that we may change and often do change our entire character and nature by a change of thoughts. Fear and worry and all of the foul brood and negative thoughts attract thoughts, people, things, and pull us down to the level of these thoughts. By right thinking, though, we may raise ourselves from the mire and surround ourselves with people and things that correspond to our thoughts. And boy, do I love that, the image of the thought mire. So think about this for a moment. Do you have experience with a divine pattern in your life? What was one of those moments? What do you remember from those moments? Can you expand on desiring more of those moments in your life? Can you think about it, right now, create that intention? It could mean freeing yourself from the shackles of superstition and ignorance, fear, and a sense of isolation in the world. We could develop an even greater relationship with the spirit that dwells within us. So Holmes said that God is an overdwelling spirit presence, a universal presence. But I believe that this universal presence is within each one of us, the person we are. I believe that this is the secret of life. The overdwelling presence is the indwelling person. We all have a secret place within us where the universe presents itself as fresh, new, and lovely with a stunningly bright light. As human beings, it's our job to find it. It's our mission. So I apologize. I am a New Englander and we tend to be a little concise in our speaking. So I want to close with the final words of this chapter. And as you listen to these words, just close your eyes and visualize the images that these words produce in you. Now let us turn deep, deep within to your God and my God, to our Father in heaven, that infinite and ineffable beauty that paints the rose and spreads its glory across the hilltop as the sun rises to bathe the valley in the warmth and color and radiance of a beautiful new day that inhabits the soft twilight shadows in the rose at hues of evening and the song of the lark and the laughter of children and the peace of the night, eternal and forever blessed. We are that which thou art, and thou art that which we are, and that is our mission. And so it is.